Turning to that gospel reading, we find Jesus making three points. First, out of loyalty, no person can serve two masters. Secondly, that there is no cause to worry. And thirdly, that we should live righteously. In Jesus' time, there was slavery, and Roman law forbade a slave from having two masters. A slave became a possession, not a person, and the master had complete control of the person's life. Some masters were good and others bad, and Jesus is here depicting God as a good master, and so God should have undisputed claim on a Christian's life. At no time can we relax Christian standards. And Jesus says you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon was a Hebrew word for material possessions and meant that which you put your trust in. And these can occupy a place in our lives that they're not meant to have. And at the heart of Jesus' teaching is that everything belongs to God. The Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." But possession of material things is not a sin, it's a responsibility. But the question arises, how do we get those things? By honourable means or foul? How do we use them, selfishly or wisely, perhaps sharing with others? And money in itself is not evil. The Lord himself commends the good use of money, stewardship and wisdom as we use our money. And as we come to these words of Jesus today, he's warning us of the grave dangers that are inherent within laying up money, or indeed any treasure, whatever it may be, if it overpowers everything else. He's speaking about anything that is to us a strength, anything a possession we prize above all things. It can be money or anything. There's the question of priority. A businessman once said, "On Sunday, my priorities are God, my family, my business. But on Monday to Saturday, the reverse order." And Jesus is saying, you love the one which claims your devotion. And then Jesus deals with worry. And doctors have so much to put up with these days with worry. A man went to a psychologist. And he said, "Doctor, sometimes I feel like a marquee, and other times I feel like a wigwam." And the doctor thought about it for a moment, and he said, "I must treat you for anxiety. You're too tense." However, anxiety is no joke. In our world, stress is a way of life. And so many people are filled with anxiety about so many things. Health, children, mortgage, work, keeping up with friends, and the list could go on and on. There may be anxiety in most of your life with unresolved issues, nagging problems, worries over finances, work or relationships. What success have you had in dealing with these problems? Have you accepted worry and anxiety as a normal, natural part of your life? Many Christians can take things which worry them to God in prayer, and they find that God responds, whilst others seem to put little trust in praying when things get hard. But from personal experience, I've learned that God really does answer. Of course, we're not the first people to experience stress and anxiety, although we may think that ours is greater than anyone else's. Anxiety, however, has been around for a long time. It's been with us for centuries. In Jesus' day, anxiety was quite prevalent. The people standing on that mountainside, when he delivered the Sermon on the Mount, were no different than you or I. They had to deal with the problems of paying their bills, feeding their families, pleasing their employers, raising their children, paying the taxes. What would Jesus say to them to help them deal with the pressures and fears of living? He didn't avoid the issue. He didn't give them soothing words. He dealt directly with the cause and cure for the worried and anxious heart. And he's telling us that God gave us life, so if we truly belong to God, surely we can trust him to care for all our needs. And he goes on to prove that worry in any event is useless, because we can't alter a thing. All we do is give ourselves ulcers, heart problems, and even death. Have you ever seen a gravestone with the epitaph, "Died of worry"? And yet it could be written on many. Doctors never cease to tell us today that many of the illnesses we have are directly caused through worry, anxiety, fear. And we're all guilty of this. Most of us worry sometimes. Some of us worry a lot. A woman worried for many years she was going to die of cancer. And many years later she died of something totally different, so wasting many years worrying about something which didn't happen. And what we're doing is taking the responsibility for our own lives rather than leaving in God's. But Jesus' words may sound too easy. He says, don't be anxious. How can he expect us to be anything else, considering the things in which we have to deal? He tells us why we shouldn't worry and how anxiety really only things makes harder. And he's trying to point out that there is more to life than possessions. And he goes on to say, even if we do worry, none of us could add a single cubit to life's span. In other words, it's futile because life is so much more than things. It's more than the material, more than the physical. It has an eternal dimension to it that's beyond us. And then Jesus points to the birds and lilies to tell us that God cares for them with the observation that they don't worry, and yet they get by, so why shouldn't we? Many Christians wonder about these words, how literally we're to take them. Some would say, if you really believe that God's in charge and that he loves you and will meet your needs, then relax totally. And if you, for some reason, don't believe that God will take care of you, they say, then you will be unable to relax. I realize that there are many people these days who are well prepared to sit back and let everyone else provide for them. They're not Christians necessarily, and they don't mind who provides for them. And the message Jesus is giving, that we should not let the provision of our necessities dominate our thoughts. God will indeed take care of us, but we must also make an effort to help ourselves. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told a man has responsibility for his family. And Paul stated quite clearly that if a man shall not work, he should not be given food. There'd be an awful lot of starving people today if this was adhered to. But many of us here grew up when our first priority in life was to have a house to live in, care for our children, provide sufficient food and clothing, and if we could then afford some luxury, we would either buy it or save up for it. Now that philosophy is considered to be really old-fashioned today and a source of amusement to many young people. That it may be, but there were less people on Valium and depressants, and families were much happier and stayed together. Many now measure their life and happiness in terms of those things which surround them. But those things are deceptive in nature. They may appear to have lasting value and worth, but they're temporary by nature. Consider how many are worried over savings and investments, house prices. In a moment, they could all be gone. And furthermore, they're not nearly as important as many other things. A husband or wife, children, family and friends, all have a higher priority, or should have, than things. Today, many people are influenced by television advertisements. They want to copy the celebrities and live like them. A famous footballer went and got his hair changed. All the barbers whooped for joy as they could see all the men coming in. Virtues like honesty, integrity, kindness, mercy and patience all have far more important than material things. There's a piece of music called "One Day at a Time, Lord Jesus." And Jesus is here telling us not to worry about tomorrow because we can only live one day at a time. And each day has the troubles of its own, and worry can be defeated when we live one day at a time. And then in verse 33, Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we do, our minds will have something to think of. rather than ourselves. For it means attention is given to see more people turn to Christ and to see his church grow. And this means we have to live our lives in a way which brings credit on him and reveals a superior lifestyle to that of so many of our friends. If we profess to be Christians and then act in a way which is contrary to Christian teaching, then we are not advancing the kingdom of God. Jesus told us, make this a priority, make this a first intention, and we do this by depending on him daily. And if God is looking after our interests, we can get on and make it our priority to seek his kingdom. He's challenging us to put him first, and if we do, he will respond and meet our needs. And so the choice is ours. We can choose to borrow trouble from tomorrow and live life as if God isn't there, or we can trust him and seek him with all our hearts. And this is the challenge for all believers, to practically trust Christ, to live out what you say you believe, and is to make him Lord over your life in a practical way. Amen.